Chapter 17. Once I finished making the rest of the acidic potion, it was late in the night, and most of my women had gone to bed. We had a long journey ahead of us, and I knew that Edeny would chastise me if I didn't head off to sleep. But I was too excited to do any of that. How could the Duchess expect me to fall asleep when we were so close to our third attack against the city? Yes, I knew that it was important for me, the leader of our army, to be well-rested in order to fight. But all of this was far too exciting. I felt like a young child on the eve of their birthday. But instead of receiving a present or something along those lines, I would earn a city and all its citizens. I moved by the caravan train silently and glanced into each of the rooms. No one was awake at this time of night, and as I tiptoed past the closed door of the master bedroom, I heard the soft breathing of my sleeping monster women. Within a day and a half, we'd be at the foothills that led to Granum, and then we'd attack with the full might of our collective armies. I glanced out of the windows a few times and saw the moving shapes of either the desperados or the gun carriages, whichever of them, I couldn't be sure. The cabins were utterly silent except for the muffled sounds of the rolling wheels on either side of the walls, and I made my way toward the kitchen cabin. When I reached it, the small window behind the driver's seat was cracked open, and I could make out the two dark shapes of Edeny and Cecilia. The two women spoke quietly to each other, but it didn't seem to be anything serious. The wooden board under my left foot creaked loudly, and one of Edeny's fluffy white ears pressed to the side of her head. The she-wolf didn't turn, but a low chuckle erupted up her throat. Instantly, Cecilia whipped around, and the strange monster woman grinned back at me over her shoulder.
"Shouldn't you be sleeping, Mr. Rayburn?"
Edeny simpered, and I laughed lightly under my breath. "I guess I should," I shrugged, opened the window all the way open, and then gestured for Cecilia to scoot over. "But can you blame me for not? I'm far too excited. I think if I did try to lay down, I'd just stare at the ceiling and wait for dawn to break."
"You do realize we just started this journey?"
the wolf woman asked with a glint in her violet eyes.
"We still have about a day and a half on our schedule, so I think you should go lay down with the others and let Cecilia and I handle this."
"You're not forcing me into bed, woman." I laughed loudly and climbed through the window before sitting down in between them. "I'm the leader of this army, all right, and I don't have a bedtime."
"I say these things because I'm worried about you."
The she-wolf tittered sweetly and then gave my left hand a tight squeeze.
"But the bags on your eyes do look as if they've receded a bit, so I will relent for now. Charles,"
Cecilia breathed,
"what's going to happen once we reach Granum? I know that we're going to attack with the cannons, ballistae, and the catapults, but what happens once we're inside?"
"Well, as you know," I started, "I instructed Ascara to craft more of the devices that expel the sleep serum. I plan to attack the wall first with the acidic potion, then blast the remains with the cannons. While all of this is happening, my soldiers and monster women will run through the trees toward the moat. I instructed Ascara to craft some planks so we can cross over the moat and get inside, but right before we enter into the hole and attack the city, I'll have more of my soldiers at the top of the hill launch the devices over the wall. Then I will deploy them. That should be able to knock out quite a few of the aristocrats who've come to investigate the commotion. Edeny, or even you, Cecilia, do you know anything about the Marchioness who's taken over Granum?" The Black Drake woman immediately shook her head to let me know that she didn't know anything about the current leader of the city. But when I glanced over at Edeny, the she-wolf's violet eyes stared straight forward with a fire in them that I recognized. The corners of her plump lips curled down into a snarl, and her delicate hands that clutched the reins tightened instinctively. "Tell me," I urged. "We need to know."
"Granum was taken from me after Bascon,"
the Duchess began,
"so I was already on the defensive. I knew Samilla before she was placed within my city, and then she ultimately took it over. I considered us friends for a short while, until I found out she was sent there by the Queen to spy on me. The other Marchioness, well, I don't know her. But I've heard many things. You see, I have quite a few contacts left in Granum, and occasionally they'd managed to send out letters to me. Some of them, well, the Marchioness found out they were in contact with me, and they lost their lives. I'm going to be very blunt, Charles. This is going to be the hardest fight we've had so far. If we can do this, I'm almost sure that we can take over the city, even the capital, with ease.
Edeni, I stated, please stop beating around the bush and tell me about the Marchioness. We can't fight against her if we don't know anything about her or her abilities.
There's a type of person in the capital,
the Duchess began, and then cleared her throat.
I wouldn't even say it's a person. It's more of a position given to a few select people. There are only a few of them born every century, and their ability is something called elimination. Do you understand what that means?
I think I do, I nodded. When we created Cleia, she told us about people who work for the Queen called Soul Suckers. Is that the group of people that you're talking about?
Yes.
The she-wolf breathed.
They eliminate both the soul and powers of a person.
Cleia only said there was one, I uttered. She works closely with the Queen.
Kalara may have worked closely with the Queen, but even then, Kalara was just the Queen's assassin and personal consort. Do you really think she'd tell her everything going on in the capital? I don't think that Cleia wants to think about it this way, but the person she once was nothing more than a pawn to the Queen, expendable and easily replaceable. I'm sure that after Kalara didn't return to the capital and her mistress, she was replaced within days. I don't think that'll hurt Cleia if I told her that, but it's something that's incredibly normal in the capital. I only know about the Soul Suckers because I've had a few run-ins with them. Nothing dangerous. But I do know that they exist, and they are extremely, almost unbelievably powerful.
Do they take the powers for themselves? I asked.
No.
The wolf woman shook her head.
They store it within themselves and then gift it to the Queen. She is the most powerful woman in the world because of these soul suckers. She has abilities within her body that she would never possess naturally.
So what you're saying is the Marchioness of Granum is one of these soul suckers?
Yes.
Edeni nodded.
But think about it, Charles. I haven't been in contact with anyone in Granum for 8 or 9 months. From the reports I received from a few of my contacts, the Marchioness hasn't left the city since she was given control over part of my duchy. Do you know what that means?
I think I have an idea. The Queen is in the capital. How can she receive the powers if the soul sucker is taking them?
She's not,
the she-wolf snarled.
Wait,
Cecilia broke in.
So you're saying that the Marchioness, who's been put in place over Granum, is taking the powers away from the aristocrats living there? Wouldn't the Queen find out? Wouldn't the Queen see this as the violation of a direct order, maybe even treason, and kill her?
How would the Queen even know? Edeni and I asked at the same time. Granum is heavily fortified, I explained. No one's allowed in or out, so how would the Queen know? The Marchioness probably sends her reports, but even then, think about it. We already know that the capital citizens are tired of the Queen and her ways, so that must include some of her guards too, right? Having more power and abilities seems like some good incentive to keep quiet about what the Marchioness is doing. She easily could have bribed the guards and constables with promises of wealth and power.
I bet that's what she's doing,
Edeni breathed.
Do you know what that means?
Yes. There are guards walking around Granum with more power than they were born with. And there's probably a good chunk of the aristocratic population that's had their abilities taken away from them.
That,
Edeni nodded.
Or they're dead. Most of the time when they steal a noble's ability, they kill them to keep them from suffering a life without an ability. They think it's inhumane for a woman to live life the same way a brute would.
Isn't that disgusting? I asked. That death is a more suitable fate than to live without a power? I've lived this long not knowing that I had an ability, and I've done just fine.
I'm almost sure that the ones they stole the powers from...
The she-wolf hesitated.
They're all dead. They took what they needed from them, and then put them out of their misery.
We're not 100% sure if this is happening there, I reiterated for the two of them. But if it is, we're going to have to be on our toes. We may have the army, and we may have a whole trove of monster women, but we've never dealt with a situation like this.
True, true.
Edeni nodded, turned her head toward me, and then grinned.
But do you know what we do have on our side?
What?
Josephine and I received full abilities from the cause,
the she-wolf explained.
Mine came from the Raiju, and hers came from the Drake. I think there's more to our power that we haven't discovered yet. I feel as if there's something inside of me that I've yet to unlock. A power that not even I, one of the strongest women in the nation, have any idea how to control. Josephine hasn't said anything, but I know she feels it too. Sometimes when no one is looking, or at least when she thinks that someone isn't obscuring her, she'll press one of her tiny hands to the middle of her chest and close her eyes. You've seen how she is with the other Drake women and how they communicate. It looks as if she's attempting to speak to a part of herself that's so deeply hidden. She knows it's there, but it hasn't revealed itself yet. I'm sure it eventually will, but all we have to do is be patient and wait for it.
You think there's more to the core transformation than the powers you have now? I probed. How so? Can you explain?
I can't explain a feeling, Charles. It's just a sensation deep in the middle of my chest. It feels like after the transformation, when your ability is about to activate for the first time. But this seems so prolonged. What did it feel like?
The Black Drake woman asked under her breath.
When your ability finally came back after the experiment. It's different for each of us. I wasn't around to experience Daisy, Valerie, or Ryan's, but they've told me about it. Ryan said she felt like she had lava pouring into her veins. Daisy felt all of her muscles ache, and...
Valerie hasn't really spoken about what it felt like the first time her power activated, but I was there, and I also had the opportunity to experience it. It was the night that we snuck into Hortensia's dormitory to plant evidence, and a certain someone showed up in the middle of our mission.
Wait.
Edeny giggled, bumped my shoulder with hers, and grinned slyly.
Was that me?
Yes. You interrupted us right after we planted the evidence and hung Hortensia's body from the rafters. I've realized over time that my women's abilities usually reactivate when there's something dangerous happening. Valerie protected all of us with her invisibility. You had no idea we were there, did you?
I think you underestimate how astute I really am.
The Duchess chuckled.
I had a sense that you were there. I think I even said it to one of the guards that you could possibly be behind all this. But they thought I was delusional. Charles, I've known you for a very long time. And when you're around someone for a long time, you sense them even if you can't see them. Maybe it's just an aristocratic thing, but we have higher sensitivity than any other creatures on Earth.
I have an understanding, I nodded. But I can't truly know what you mean since I'm a man.
You're a doctor and a scientist, Charles. I'm sure you know what the five senses are. Those are probably one of the first things you learned about when you did your research.
Of course. Sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch.
There's a widely disputed sixth sense. In the earlier generations, before women developed powers and such, no one believed in this sixth sense, and it's debated what it truly would be if it existed. I, for one, believe that the sixth sense exists because I've felt it. Some believe that it's a sensory mode that gives the person the ability to speak to the dead. That sounds like poppycock to me. I fully believe that the sixth sense is a keen intuition. I knew you were there, even if it was the sense of your so familiar presence. Cleia said her ability felt like ice was building up in her veins,
Cecilia whispered. Is something the matter? I asked, leaned forward and stared into her eyes.
I just...
The redhead whispered, clutched her stomach, and concentrated on the dark road ahead of us.
I feel different. Like there's something inside of me. I don't know how to describe it, but that feeling gets stronger and stronger with each day that passes. I can barely concentrate on anything other than that feeling.
My eyebrows instantly raised, and I glanced toward Edeny. The she-wolf blinked rapidly, squared her shoulders, and then fell into deep thought for a moment.
My powers only activated the moment that I saw that Charles was in danger,
the Duchess explained.
But it felt like this sudden surge of power that even I couldn't contain. If I hadn't relented, I probably would have killed every aristocrat in that room. But mine felt something like that. Like the constant building of a wave until it towered over my head. And when I couldn't hold it back anymore, it swept me away to shore. I'm so grateful that Charles and my sisters were there, because if they weren't, everyone in Edenheart would have died that day. We don't know what type of power I'll have.
The ex-guard grunted through gritted teeth.
Since I'm the combination of Samilla's power and the pre-existing ones from the core. But this feeling, it's like nothing I've ever experienced before. I don't think I can hold it in for much longer, Charles.
Try to talk through it, I urged. Tell us what you're feeling.
How can I?
The ex-guard panted.
It feels as if I'm being sucked out into space. I feel utterly weightless and so very heavy at the same time. Is that even possible? Charles, I don't think I can control it for very much longer. Charles!
Edeny cried.
What do we do? Should we stop? We've never been in a situation like this before. Not only that, but I'm driving a massive caravan with the desperados and cannons behind us.
Pull off, I instructed, and jabbed a hand out to the side of the road to the left. If we can get her a good distance away...
I can't take it!
Cecilia screamed.
Charles, I'm sorry!
The black drake woman gritted her teeth, screamed through them, and then jabbed her right hand in front of her. My eyes widened in horror as a portal large enough for the entire caravan to fit through spawned in front of us. Edeny instantly pulled back on the reins, and the horses bellowed in protest, but it was too late. Before I could even close my eyes or reach for my staff, we entered into the inky darkness of the portal. For a second, I couldn't breathe, and the only sounds I heard from the two women on either side of me were muffled as if they were screaming underwater. Then, just as suddenly, the strange, weightless feeling was gone. I breathed in deeply, and the air smelled so different than the desert atmosphere I'd grown used to over the last few days. Then I slowly opened my eyes and stared at the scene in front of us. I almost couldn't believe it. What? What had Cecilia done? How had she done this?
Charles,
Edeny murmured in a shaky voice.
Where are we?
To the right of me, Cecilia sat in the driver's seat with her knees tucked tightly to her chest and her eyes squeezed shut. It looked as if the black drake woman were holding her breath with her hands tightly formed into fists against her chest. I stood from my seat, turned to stare over the caravan's metal top, and took in the enormous portal behind us. She'd created a portal that large on her first try? I swiveled my eyes back toward the sloping mountainside ahead of us and noticed the lights off in the distance between the massive cedar trees. I think we're back in Granum, I whispered, sat back down, and grabbed the redhead by the shoulders. Cecilia, did you portal us across the desert all the way back to Granum?
I don't know!
The ex-guard squealed with her eyes still tightly shut.
I told you I couldn't hold it in anymore! Whoa there!
A familiar voice shouted from the left side of the driver's seat.
What just happened, partner?
Matilda asked from atop her mechanical horse.
I wish y'all would have warned us about that. We were mighty scared.
The rest of the desperados quickly fell into line behind her, and the leader glanced over her shoulder with a worried expression.
I'm just hoping that the men on the wagons and driving the wagons got through all right.
The green-haired woman muttered and glanced over her shoulder.
Oh, no, never mind. Here they come. So, Charlie, where are we now, partner?
It looks like we're at the bottom of the foothills of Granum.
Woo-ee!
The desperado threw back her head and cried.
That's a lot of land to travel over in a matter of seconds. So we got here through that big black thingy over there? I almost can't believe it. But, well, we did just travel through it.
I stared down at Cecilia for a long moment until the ex-guard finally opened up her eyes. Just as she did, I felt her unusual power retract from all around us, and when I glanced over my shoulder, the portal had disappeared without a sound. You did that? You portaled us here all the way from the other side of the desert?
I guess so,
the black drake woman stammered.
I don't know. I couldn't stop it. Charles, I'm sorry.
For a few seconds, I stared down at her with wide eyes, and then a dry laugh roared up my throat before my arms wrapped around her. I roughly brought the redhead to my chest and laughed into her shoulder. Why are you apologizing? I asked through loud chuckles. There's no need. By science, Cecilia, that was fantastic.
You think so?
The black drake woman squawked. We weren't in any danger, I explained, but your power knew exactly what we needed. You must have sensed that I was anxious and excited to get back to Granum. Your power provided us a new way to travel. I can't believe it. I wonder what else you can do. There has to be more to your power than just portals, since we use the core that contains Samilla's ability and the Drake's.
I don't know.
Cecilia shook her head doubtfully, lowered her face, and then grinned wickedly.
But why don't we test it out on those granum bastard aristocrats?
Right. I barked, turned, and then grabbed the reins out of Edenie's hands. Let's get there. Matilda, I need you to go around to each of the wagons full of men and tell them that we're going to be fighting a lot sooner than we thought.
Oh, really?
The desperado purred, tapped her metallic fingers against the silver surface of her horse, and then shifted the reins to her other hand.
I'm on it, boss. You got us there, and we'll handle the rest for you.
Without a moment's hesitation, the green-haired beauty kicked her heels against her mechanical horse's side, turned it toward the wagons following along behind us, and disappeared from view with the rest of the desperados in tow. The three of us in the driver's seat didn't speak, and instantly, Edeny handed me the reins. I slapped the strips of smooth leather against the beast's backs, and we rolled forward toward the outcropping of trees. I remembered the road of our Granum visit well, and I knew that within minutes we'd be reunited with our army. Cecilia, I uttered right as we entered into the forest and the road sloped upward. I need you to go inside and wake your sisters. They need to prepare before we get there. All of this is happening a lot faster than we expected, but we're ready. I think we've been ready for this moment for a very long time.
Of course, Charles.
The Black Drake woman nodded, shifted her position on the driver's seat, climbed through the window behind us, and then padded away through the cabins.
Are you sure that we're ready for this?
Edeny asked in a hushed voice.
Do you think we're fully prepared to take on Granum?
I've asked myself that question quite a few times over the last few days. How can I answer that? I've seen our strength, determination, and will tested so many times, and yet we've prevailed. I know that this is something on a much larger scale than anything we've taken on, but do I doubt us? No. Edeny, we're to fight a lot of battles in the coming months, and a lot of the time we're not going to be able to prepare. We're going to have to rely on our numbers and skills that we already have. Yes, acquiring the cannons was a stroke of luck I never saw coming, and they will aid us greatly in the future. You already know that I plan to craft them, but that would have been a much more difficult task than simply using the hidden ironworks. But if we hadn't, we still would have attacked Granum. You asked me if I think we're fully prepared to attack Granum, and I've never been so sure of something before in my life.
I'm just worried about the fortification,
the Duchess explained.
What if—
Don't think about the what-ifs, I interrupted with a shake of my head. Let me put it a little more plainly. If we'd attacked Granum before Burskan, sure, I would be a little more worried than I am now, but think about it, Edeny. I have three cities under my control, and all of their citizens are now either soldiers or monster women. How many people do you think that is? I stopped counting after we reached the hundreds. Before long, we're not going to be able to split into groups to go to different cities because they're looking more and more like an actual army instead of just a vagabond group of men in armor. I told you before, but Granum is the first city that I think people will actually die when we attack it. And that's a factor that I'm willing to accept. We're waging war now. This isn't just us rising up against the aristocrats of Edenheart.
I understand, Charles.
The she-wolf nodded, and her fluffy white ears laid flat against her head.
I know that Ryan and Cleia have been itching to kill, but I can't say that I like it. I mean, I used to when I was the Duchess of Edenheart, but I'm a different person now. I don't feel that burning need within me, but maybe it's different for both of them.
There are going to be casualties no matter what precautions we take, I warned. Aristocrats are going to die, and I know that I promised a long time ago that all of them would be saved and given a second chance through the transformation process. But that's not possible. I would love to be able to infiltrate Granum in a safer way, but we can't. We have to take the offensive. And if they lose a few lives, then so be it. I'm not afraid.
You've changed so much.
The she-wolf breathed, and then leaned her head back to look up at the stars as the trees swallowed us whole.
You're a completely different man, Charles. I've said this before, but I always knew you were special. Destined for something greater than the lowly life of an alchemist.
I know that I've changed. I nodded and kept my eyes straight forward for any signs of the abandoned guard tower off in the distance. I've had to. Creating Valerie was a happy accident, but I had to become a better and stronger person when she came into my life. With each monster woman that I added to our family, I needed to adjust and become a new man for them. Now I have so many people depending on me. I can't relent. I can't stop or let go. I have to make the hard decisions, even if it means that people will lose their lives. Think about it, Edeni. We can't fight a battle or a war without a few people dying on either side. I know that some of our men won't make it back home, but at least they got to taste freedom for once in their lives.
They won't die.
The wolf woman shook her head, and when I glanced at her, her violet eyes glowed brightly against the darkness around us.
When you created me, I made a promise to myself. I didn't tell you or my sisters. It was a covenant with myself. I promised that I would protect you and my sisters with my life, no matter what happened to us. Now that we have a whole army on our side, that promise extends to them, too. My sisters may not have admitted it, but I suspect that they've made a similar promise to themselves. We need our leader, Charles, but there can't be a future without the male population. Some of our soldiers will make that up, and we can't let them die for nothing. I will fight tooth and claw to protect my sisters and my king, but I will also do it for the men fighting alongside us.
I'm so proud of you, Edeni, I whispered, and the wolf woman's back went straight as a rod. It's so strange to hear you say those things. We went through a lot of rough times together. Well, they were mainly rough for me, but to see all of the progress that you've made, it's inspiring. Your sisters once told me that they didn't think that they could accept you into our family, but they see what a difference you've made. Your will is still as strong as iron, and your tongue as sharp as a knife. But your heart has softened so much. You accept the love around you and give it freely. Not only to me, but to your sisters, too. There's still a fire of vengeance burning inside of you, and I never want that to die out, do you understand? You've been subjected to horrible things your entire life because of the Queen. But as soon as we reach the capital, all of it ends. I'm not sure what we're going to do with the Queen yet, Edeni. But only once we've finished her, I want that fire inside of you to die down.
Yes, Charles.
The Duchess nodded with bright eyes, and then her right arm jabbed out.
There. You'll want to pull it in there. The guard tower will be beyond that, and then we'll find the soldiers.
I nodded and instantly shifted the reins in my hand to guide the horses in that direction. It was so dark here, and it deepened even more as Edeni lowered the wicks in the lamps. When I glanced down the steep hill to my left, I could make out the pinpricks of light from the city below. Most of the citizens must have been asleep by now, tucked away into their beds, but the sounds from the enormous factories reached my ears clearly. What were they making? Was the Queen using the city to craft more weapons just like Valestia? Or was it completely different? It was freezing here, and I huddled closer to Edeni for warmth. Thankfully, we'd put on coats and gloves as night had fallen in the desert, so the weather didn't bother us as much as it would have if we'd arrived in our lighter clothing. Though it was dark in the woods, my eyes quickly adjusted, and I'd managed to maneuver the caravan through the trees with very little help from Edeni. When I glanced around the side of the giant convoy, the rest of my party followed along behind us. Matilda and the rest of the desperados helped the men on the wagons and gun carriages to move in between trees. When I lifted my gaze to the path in front of us, I finally spied the empty vine-covered guard tower off in the distance. I knew from visiting here before that we couldn't go any further into the forest, so I pulled back on the reins and slowed our horses to a stop. When I glanced around, I looked for any sign of my soldiers. In the dark, I could barely make out the rough shapes of forest-green tents all placed around the base of the guard tower, and beyond that, hulking figures covered in thick tarps.
"Are those?"
Edeni whispered, and her breath came out in a thick cloud. "The ballistae and catapults." I nodded, and then searched all of the tents for any signs of life. "Yes, that's them." My eyes landed on a larger tent a little farther into the forest. Most of the structures were hidden well against the darkness, and I doubted they were visible from the top of the wall surrounding Granum. The only difference about the bigger tent was it was covered in thick branches to hide it from sight. But as I hopped from the driver's seat, I spied a lamp on inside of it. I took a step forward and then spoke to Edeni over my shoulder. "Get the cannons into place," I explained. "I'm sure that Ascara and the rest of the men put them over there for a specific reason."
"All right."
The she-wolf nodded, jumped down from the driver's seat with a soft, graceful thump, and then brushed off her gloved hands.
"What are you going to do?"
"I'm going to go greet my men," I smiled. The wolf woman nodded once with a soft grin, and then disappeared around the corner of the caravan as its door opened. The rest of my monster women poured out but quickly trotted off in the direction of the desperados and the gun carriages. All of us knew what we needed to do in the coming moments, and now I needed to speak with my soldiers. I quietly moved toward the concealed tent, and as I neared it, their whispering voices finally reached my ears. It was clear that Ascaro was inside, along with a few of my other soldiers, but I wasn't sure what they were talking about just yet. I finally found the flap inside of the tent, ripped it open, and stepped inside. The room was aglow in golden hues from the lamps, and the five men inside were huddled over a small table with a hand-drawn map resting on top of it. All of them jumped and moved to grab their weapons resting against the fabric sides of the tent, but paused when they looked me in the face.
"My lord,"
Ascara barked, and then dropped into a low bow.
"We didn't expect you to arrive back so soon."
"Yes, we didn't expect it either," I chuckled, and then let the smile drop from my features. "Now, who's ready to plan an attack, soldiers?"